Welcome to this glorious Easter morning. We have a particular greeting in the Christian church for Easter, and you know what it is. I'll greet you with Christ is risen, and you respond, He is risen indeed. Let's try it together. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Now, I'm sure that was fine for a regular Sunday morning, but this is Easter. So let's try it again with a whole lot more enthusiasm. Are you ready? Friends, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. We're so pleased that you've been able to tune in to this special service today, where we can celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ together in spirit through the wonderful tools of the internet. For those who regularly attend St. Stephen's, you'll see and hear some familiar features of our Sunday services. It is our hope that you'll also hear and know in your heart that you are God's beloved. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Friends, come and worship, for the tomb is empty. The stone has been rolled away. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. For 3 days, he lay in that cold and lonely cave. But God's love cannot be contained, not by anything, not even by death. Thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our risen Lord. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Come, let us worship the risen Christ. Would you pray with me? O God of all our days, we come this morning with eager anticipation. We seek to know you, to see you, to touch you. Open our hearts that we might experience you anew. Open our lives that we may be faithful witnesses to your resurrection. May we, with shouts of joy, proclaim your steadfast, liberating love to all people everywhere.
Good morning and happy Easter. Today's scripture reading is, of course, the story of the resurrection taken from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. And this is the word of God.
Please join me in saying together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, everybody. I'm getting tired of leading worship inside the house, to be honest. I'm not running out of rooms yet, but it just doesn't feel Eastery enough, so I thought I'd move outside for the message today. So before that, let me give you a quick tour of the patio. We just cleaned it up yesterday, so I'm kind of proud of that.
So here is the Spencer's back patio in all its glory. Yesterday was actually uncover all the lawn furniture. We had it all covered up for the winter. We haven't got all the knickknacks we normally have out here. I power washed it yesterday. That was so much fun. There's something about power washing that just works for me. And shouldn't ignore this. This contains our turkey. Yes, the two of us are having a turkey, and we will be eating it for the next 10 days. And this is going to be the scene of where I offer the sermon to you in a moment. And behind, of course, are the barbecues. We do have two barbecues. There's a story, in fact, there's a whole sermon in that. But it's the one on the left I really love. It's the event barbecue. Oh, just so much fun. Anyway, let's get to business. Beware of background noise because I think my neighbor's using his chainsaw. I woke up on Good Friday morning and I was thinking about Bruce Hornsby, or more specifically, his song, The Way It Is. Now, this isn't one of those kind of preacher things that we sometimes do. You know, that's when we sort of stare off into the horizon, try to sneak something obscure into the sermon, something like, well, you know, just the other day. This is not one of those things. Honestly, on Good Friday morning, I woke up thinking about and hearing the song, The Way It Is. Back in 1986, the band Bruce Hornsby and the Range, they appeared on our musical horizon with the release of an album, and more precisely, the song that gave the album its name, which is The Way It Is. Like millions of others around the world, I was quickly quite taken by the tune. Hornsby is a most talented musician. He plays multiple musical genres. He plays jazz, pop, bluegrass, gospel. And the piano opening at the beginning of the song is rather captivating, I find. A bit of an earworm. And the rest of the song just builds on it quite beautifully. And pay attention to the bass line. Normally, what I would do is I would ask John, could you play the opening on the piano to refresh our memories? But today, the best I can do is link the song to you on our website. But do take it in. It's a gem. My co-worker and our scripture reader for this morning, Adele, she has a great mind for song words. She has a lyric for most occasions, I find. Me, I'm always late to that show. I usually first pay attention to the melody or the rhythm or guitar bit. I love the guitar bits. Some musical hook. And it's only later on that I get to the lyrics. So it took me a while. But eventually, the lyrics to the song began to sink in for me. And I find the message of the song rather intriguing. As Hornsby explores the sense of hopelessness that many experience as a result of their circumstances, due to economics, due to their race. And the first part of the chorus sounds a bit cynical. The chorus is this: that's just the way it is. Some things will never change. That's just the way it is. So it's about being trapped. It's about being crushed by a situation that you just can't seem to change. Because that's just the way it is. Dreams are mysterious things. Sometimes I wake up with the strangest things on my mind. And that could well be the result of last night's guacamole. Or it could perhaps be an odd little bit of my subconscious bursting to the surface, which might, well, can be alarming. But there are times when it just might be God. Certainly the biblical story might get us wondering about that, and it's one of the ways that God speaks to God's people. But maybe I just woke up thinking about that song and that lyric because I'm feeling a little trapped right now. My world's kind of limited. It's become suddenly quite confined, as I'm sure yours is too. I'm pretty much restricted to my house, to my yard, to my patio, to making regular bike rides. And that's wonderful, but it's like I'm in a bubble. I'm not fully engaged in the world, and I don't like it. I really don't like it. But hey, that's just the way it is. Mary Magdalene had a pretty good idea of the way it is too. On Good Friday, that pretty much the way it was. I mean, death had won. Death always wins, right? That's just the way it is. I've long been fascinated by Mary Magdalene. She's intrigued me since I joined the ranks of Jesus' followers. And that's only been heightened latterly as I discovered her special place in the history and culture of Provence, which is the place that Tevis and I have had the pleasure of doing some exploring in over the last number of years. Though I suspect not this year. But Mary Magdalene, even when things went horribly, monstrously wrong, for most of other Jesus disciples, it seemed to be the end. But somehow Mary, she kept on keeping on. There goes the truck. There weren't a lot of them there for the crucifixion. But Mary Magdalene was one of the few who had the courage and the strength to be there as Jesus' life ebbed away. And then, of course, she was the very first witness to the resurrection, an honor and a responsibility that I truly can't get my head around, and through which we, as we heard in our Bible reading, Jesus commissions her, ordains her to be the very first preacher, the very first person to share the good news that Christ had been raised. For that is the good news. So yeah, Mary of Magdala was the very first apostle, the very first one to be sent out on a mission by Jesus himself. But on Good Friday, and all through Holy Saturday, and in the wee hours of that Easter morning, she was painfully aware that in the end, death wins. Because that's just the way it is. Some things will never change. Knowing that, she did what many of us do when we've lost someone we love. She went to the place where his body lay. It was the garden tomb that John tells us that Joseph of Arimathea, a secret disciple, had secured for the body of Jesus. It was before dawn when Mary arrived, but she could see that the stone covering to the entrance had been moved aside. It was exposed, and she was alarmed by this, so she went off and quickly told Simon Peter and someone referred to rather enigmatically as the other disciple. Is that you, John? And together they race off to the tomb to see what's happened. and they discover that the tomb is empty. The linens that had wrapped Jesus' body is just lying there, but the body's gone. In the gospel reading we heard, we're told that they didn't really yet fully understand what was going on here, so they simply head back home, surely puzzled by this strange turn of events. I mean, first there was the crucifixion, and now the indignity of having Jesus' body stolen. I mean, does it never end? Mary doesn't head home. She just stays outside the tomb, weeping at this terrible mess. But then, for some reason, John tells us that she bends over and she looks into the tomb and sees two angels who ask her why she's crying, and she says she's heartbroken over the fact that someone's taken away her Lord's body, at which point she turns away from the tomb only to find someone standing in front of her who also asks her why she's weeping. And she thinks it's the gardener, because who else could it be, really? I mean, Jesus is dead. That's just the way it is. But thinking that the gardener might be in on the plot somehow, she asks him to tell her where Jesus' body is so she can go collect it and then put it back where it's supposed to be, in the tomb. To which the gardener says, to which Jesus says, Mary. Somewhere in hearing her name, the tone, the inflection, the familiarity of friendship evident of the way he said the name, I don't know, but somehow in that moment she saw and she knew. Surely having little idea as to what it meant, what it would mean to her and to everyone else and to all of creation, but she knew in that moment that Jesus, who was dead, was now alive. There's actually a tiny bit more to the chorus of The Way It Is, and I'll share it with you. It goes like this. That's just the way it is. Some things will never change. That's just the way it is. Ha, but you don't believe them. In the midst of despair, there's actually hope, a wild hope that things can change, that things will change. Good Friday and Easter, the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, are ultimately at the heart of the Christian faith. When the Apostle Paul was getting the church in Corinth back on track, it was a church that had somehow lost its way rather terribly, he goes right back to basics. In the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, a reading that I need to keep coming back to over and over and over, Paul gives a kind of, well, let's take this from a top again approach. Here's what you need to first know about the gospel, the good news that the church has been given, he's saying. He says, this is what I told you to begin with, so it's the thing by which you're being saved, so listen up. And he writes this. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried, and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. A little aside here, I really wish he'd said first appeared to Mary, but I digress. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Then he appeared to me, bringing up the rear. There's a lot to our faith. There's teachings and ethics and how to order our lives in a way that blesses and gives life. There's lots of important stuff. But when St. Paul has to start from the beginning, when he is laying down the foundation of here's the good news that we have, he doesn't start with the teachings or the ethics or the other important elements of the faith. No, he starts with the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Honestly, without Jesus' faithfulness on Good Friday, and without this day, without Christ raised from the dead, we've got nothing notable. There's lots of quite serviceable belief systems out there, lots of strong ethical systems and teachings, and death is just the way it is. But because of today, because of Good Friday, we don't believe that. In the wee hours of a morning such as this 2,000 years ago, something remarkable happened. God gave a resounding no. And because of that no, Mary and Peter and John and a host of others, even unto this day, have encountered the risen Christ. Things were set right between God and us and all of creation that day when God declared powerfully, no, this is the way it is. And even in these peculiar days, and no, especially in these peculiar and fearful days when the old enemy seems to be having its sway, now we have hope. For Christ is risen. He has been raised. Hallelujah. And because that's true, one day you and I will be raised too. To which I say, hallelujah.
These are the prayers for the people for this Easter Sunday. Lord God, the resurrection of your Son gives us hope. This is the glorious message of Easter. We can dare to have hope. In the weeks ahead, we need you to help us embrace hope. As your people, we are used to coming together to worship, to share burdens and joys, to be in social settings. Yet right now, we cannot come close together. All must be at a distance. Lord God, we call on you to sustain us. Please continue to help us see the beauty of the world that surrounds us, the kindness of our neighbors, friends, and families, the selfless work of first responders, hospital staff, and care workers, the efforts of all who deliver and sell the food and products we depend on daily, the united approaches of all party government and public health experts. Lord, give us and them rest. Reassure and protect your people. Lord God, we pray for those who cannot self-isolate or access all the resources available to most. The homeless, the poor, those in heavily populated nations. We pray, Lord God, for other nations where the virus appears to be spreading rapidly. Give their leaders wisdom. Give the people hope. Lord God, we pray for the elderly who are most at risk of death from this virus. We pray for the families of those who have died and ask that you fold them in your loving arms. Thank you for all the signs of hope, spring and sunshine and kindness and teamwork, gratitude, our children and grandchildren, friendship, your never-ending love. These are just some of the signs of hope. Thank you, God. Please whisper to us when we doubt your goodness and despair of hope, that we may hear your voice. Please join me together in saying the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We want to thank you all for your continued faithful giving to the work and mission God has called St. Stephen's to. As Phil has said over the last couple of weeks, we can still give in the ways that we normally do. For those of us who normally put our offering envelope in the plate, you are welcome to mail that in to the church. And those of us who are on par, we continue to give in the regular way that we do through that pre-authorized giving. We've also set up another way that you can give to the work of the church if you feel moved to and you're able to, and that is online directly through our website. If you navigate to the home page, near the bottom of that page is a blue button that makes it very easy for you to give online. We want you to know that your continued support, particularly in this time when things are so challenging, is valued more than you know. So thank you. Will you now join me in the prayer over these gifts you have so graciously shared?
Generous and surprising God, when we thought that death had claimed your only Son, you amazed us with the resurrection. Surprise us again with your ability to turn these humble offerings into gifts that will transform the world and bring your restoration and peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, before we go on this wonderful Easter Sunday morning, we have just a few announcements. The first is, you'll remember that if you have little people in your home, there is the option of doing Kids Church online. You can get at that through the church website. There's a link on the homepage for that. Once we're done and I've said the blessing, there's another YouTube video we encourage you to navigate to. The link is on the website in the same page as you found this sermon, and it's a video that's been done by our own Bruce Feltham. So we encourage you to listen to that before you go today. A reminder that the church building is still closed. If you need to get into the building, you will need a code for the alarm to do that. So you can just call the church office and Adele will help you out with that. We've had a wonderful week of services each day. Coming into this next week, we will return to our practice that we've established of having regular daily devotions posted on the church website, and we do hope that you will take a look at those each day. Perhaps they might bring you a moment of encouragement and hope and even joy in these days that can be a bit long.
In the dark of the early morning, it descended, the very breath of God. Dawn approached, the spirit filled the lungs of our fallen king, and his heart began to beat anew. At the rising of the sun, he awoke. He opened his eyes. He smiled. He rose, victorious. They say the tomb was empty, but we know otherwise. Sorrow and mourning left behind. Fear and shame left behind. Sin and death left behind. Forever entombed by Christ the Son, he who has conquered the grave, he who is risen, he who reigns. Friends, may the God of peace, who raised our Lord Jesus from the dead, provide you with every good thing you need to do his will. And may the blessing of the Almighty God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you on this Resurrection Sunday and remain with you always. Amen.